Hey, listen, I'm gonna fish a little bit for a minute. You know, when we were singing that He is Freedom, this didn't happen first service. That just got all over me. He's freedom. Now, I might be all wrong with this, but you know what? There's just a few of us here in the room, and it's raining. It's kind of different out today. So what if we just said, now for real, don't make something up just because. But like this section over here, this far section over here, Bill, your section over there. Is there anybody over there that just is going to say, let me tell you how God set me free? Well, that didn't take long. Delbert, come on up here. I think somebody's going to get some encouragement right now.
I hope so.
I do too.
I've been at this church, I guess, since the beginning of my walk with Christ. And it's been a long time. Probably not as long as I'd like it to be, but it's getting longer. And I was telling someone this morning of the struggles that my life has been in and my family and how the body of Christ here has just walked through us through all this. And I've got to watch it grow. I've been in awe and amazed by the love that's here and the people that God has just at perfect timing has sent to grow the house, to grow the body. And this is a season now for us to step up and continue this growth. And I could go on and on forever. Narrowgate is just been a huge part of my life. The men out there, my family, my son, bless his heart, he's getting married September 20th.
By the Amen.
Way. Yep. And I was asked this morning what my speech was going to be, and I'm thinking, I don't need to make a speech. Yeah. And then I sat down and I thought, well, God, what do you want to say? And I think this is all part of it. Well, I know it's all part of it. I just want to tell everybody here that's been walking with me and my family that I love you. And I'm grateful.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. Love you, buddy. All right. Well, that felt pretty good. What about this section right here? Like, you got to tell somebody. Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Come on.
Okay.
Come on. Yes. This is like exactly right. Price is right. Come on down.
I just want to tell everybody here how Jesus set me free. I was a Muslim. And in Muslim religion, you're afraid of God, not loving God. That is the difference. When I was a Muslim, I was afraid of him, so I must do something good. But now with his love, and I love him, and I'm good now. So this is it.
Bill stood back up over here and goes, I got something to say.
I don't talk about this much, but it seems right. Today's August the 15th, so let's back up 3 days, August 12th.
Today's August 17th.
17th, that's what I said, right? So let's back up
from
5 days.
From the guy who never gets a date right.
Guess I'll go sit down now.
Oh, come on. Okay.
So August 12th, 5 days ago, and then let's back up 32 years ago, I didn't drink. One week before my 16th birthday, I had my first drink. It was vodka and Pepsi.
Do orange juice or something.
I didn't know. I was 15. I didn't know, right? I grew very skilled and adept at the process over time. I would stay drunk for months. I would stay drunk for months at a time. It's not something I talk about now because it's not a factor until you say, what did God set you free from?
Yeah.
32 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you just come right on up here.
Okay, I'm not a plug for the church. I'm a plug for me and people like me. I'm a senior, and they're starting a new class for seniors only. Now, if you're like me and you're alone, your husband's gone, then you need fellowship with other people who have the same needs that you do and the same desires and fellowship and fun, but prayer and somebody who cares. So the 8th of September, Monday night at 6 o'clock, there's going to be a, or maybe it's 6:30. Anyway, there's
don't ask me.
There's going to be a start of this class. Bring a dish and come. I want to meet you. Mm. I'm looking for people my age to do things with and have fellowship with because we have the same needs, especially if you're single. Mm. So come.
That's awesome.
This section right over here. Yes, Peggy, come on. Okay, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I think the service is changing. Come on this side so my microphone can pick you up.
All right. I was born into abject poverty. And by that, I don't just mean the physical. It was darkness. I was abused in every way a child could be abused. An aunt found me. I was hadn't been fed in days. I was eating flour and lard. You got to be hungry to eat flour and lard. Scars, bruises. And by the grace of God, and I do mean that, I was adopted. My mom had a dual addiction to alcohol and anger. So every time I'd feel like I got up just a little bit, she'd tell me how bad I was. But then, I had a praying grandma. Mm. And every one of you grandmas, you'd be praying for him. Because I had a praying grandma. And my grandma prayed me to salvation. Mm. And at 13 years old, I came to know about Jesus. But I didn't live in the godly homes that I see represented around this congregation. So I didn't walk with him. Mm. So I tried to do my life by myself. But the only truth I had inside me was that I was unlovable. Mm. Because when people do awful things to you, that's what you believe. But then one day, God came to me in a blinding light vision. And I was 32 years old, so 33 years ago, I started walking with the Lord. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he has never left me. He told me then, he said, you know what? I picked you up out of that muck and that mire. I put your feet on a rock, and I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, and he never has. My husband and I have 7 children. And wait, we have 15 grandchildren. And when I was a little girl, I used to just pray, God, all I want is a happy, happy family. Mm. And the other day, a couple of weeks ago, my daughter and her husband and their children and my son and his wife and their children, they were all at our house. And it was just one of those glorious, glorious days. There was laughter, there was sunshine. And God just dropped in my heart. And he said, you know, Peggy, I knew this day was coming. And that's why he told me, that's why he said, I sent my Holy Spirit to say to you, don't ever give up. Trust in me and follow me, and I will restore and bless and love. So I am free. Hallelujah.
My whole life I'd been told that I was bad and I was the black sheep of the family. Mm. And so you just behave that way when you believe that. And in my early 20s, I got addicted to meth and I lost everything. I had no friends. I couldn't call my family. I had no job, no place to go. And these bluegrass musicians took me into their home. I love bluegrass. And all they said is, you just can't bring hard drugs into our house. And that's when I realized that I was addicted. And so I didn't know what to do. And I got in the shower and I just said, God, if you're real, you will save me from this. And I have no idea what happened that day, but it's been different ever since.
You're free.
Okay.
You're doing all right.
Yeah.
You look great.
Thank you.
What about over there? There's a bunch over here. Come on. Come on, every one of you. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Running from the back row. Okay. John, I want you to pay attention to me right here. And let's make sure that the control room's got this. Come on over here, y'all. Okay. Come on.
I think probably one of my favorite sayings that has really been a part of my life is that, you know, if you're not actively pursuing God, you're passively falling away from Him. Mm. And that has been my life. I mean, praise the Lord, I've never been addicted to any kind of drugs. I've never had an alcohol problem. But I was not living my life for God. I was just dried out. I grew up in the church. I knew who Jesus was. I knew the stories. I knew the life. But it was just, it was just stories. I didn't know who Jesus was. I didn't know what His real life in me could be. And I moved to Georgia. I was seeking a girl, And I just dried out. I dried out real fast. And I didn't know what I was doing. So I left her. I came home. I went to Narrowgate. And at Narrowgate, during all of this, these past years, my parents, had broken up or got divorced and left. I hated my dad. I just didn't respect men the way that I should have. And at Narrowgate, I felt God for the first time as a father. Mm. I heard Him call me son. Mm-hmm. I have letters that He wrote to me where He calls me son. And He says, my boy, I love you.
Yeah, man.
And it wasn't just words. It was real.
Yeah.
He told me He loved me. And for the first time, I felt like I had a father. Mm. Not just a dad, but a father who loved me enough to give His life for me.
Amen.
It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. This life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me.
Amen. Amen.
Proud of you, buddy. Never be the same again.
Never. Keep doing it. Okay, come on.
I'm not going to go into what God saved me from because that would take too long.
We don't
starts
have the
from
time.
Childhood.
Good. Yeah.
And I just want to say that it was His divine intervention in my life each time. Without my understanding that I even needed help, my blindness was so dark. I didn't know I was blind. I didn't know what to ask for help for. I didn't know that I needed help. And the way He saved me was that He saw what I needed. He saw my brokenness. He saw the potential of that brokenness, and He intervened in a way that didn't require my permission. He went ahead and just interrupted my life again and again and again, and continued to give me dreams and just in a very kind of, Esther, I know what you need, and I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming, even though you don't know you need me, I'm coming, and just kept and kept and kept pursuing me, and that's how he saved me.
Amen. That's good. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to keep this brief, but God saved me from despair when I couldn't even breathe, and I say this to my mother. I love you, and I will always love you, but most of all, God loves you, and I pray every day that you can see that.
First of all, that first guy that talked, that was my little brother, and I couldn't be more proud of him. I spent the last 6-8 years of my life living a lie. I was probably one of the better con men that I've known, and to the point where I wasn't even sure what was truth and what was a lie anymore, and I would forget actual memories because I would start actually remembering the story I'd been telling, and was, you know, spending more of my waking hours high than I was sober, and would lie about things that didn't need to lie about. Because of my selfishness and the way I was living my life, I lost my wife and was at risk of losing my son. I lost jobs, moved back home in April, and my little brother got me going to the Lockstep Bible Study with Brian Ray and all of these amazing people that are sitting over there and all over the place. And through that and fellowshipping with them and walking it out with them every day, I'm 4.5 months clean, and I have my son. My son's in the nursery right now. He loves his daddy, he knows his daddy. I know my daddy, and my life will never be the same, and it's because of this church family, because of my family with the Lockstep group, and because of every single one of you that never stopped praying for me, even when I was running and I was ignoring it. Some of the guys, Jimmy and Jay and Morgan and Brian and everybody else who's been just constantly praying for me, thank you, because I'm alive today, and I have my son today because of all of you and because God used you to keep praying for me, so thank you.
Awesome!
I thank God today for saving me from a life of hopelessness and depression, anxiety, and I'm a big believer in transparency. He saved me from, you know, drugs. I used to smoke weed, sell it, and I could be in jail right now. I mean, he also saved me from sexual perversions, like pornography, which is a touchy subject, but I'm glad I'm no longer held in bondage by that.
Amen, amen, amen.
And I'm so thankful that now I have a life worth living, and I have a future.
Hey, you do. Like, you do for real.
Thank God.
Amen. Good.
Well, I have dealt with anxiety in my life, and 2 years ago, I had a heart attack. And the Lord saved me from that. I had a stent, and, you know, I started getting in shape and eating right. Well, my last birthday, about 6 months ago, boom, second heart attack. I was laying on the ER table saying my goodbyes to Esther, because I thought that was it. And I remember it was about the time that you had preached the message on Hezekiah and the army, and, and you could see the invisible army. Stand, praise, let God do your battles. Because I took on my own battles, and that was part of my anxiety.
Yeah.
And we prayed like there was no tomorrow, and my pain level was 8.5. They hadn't gotten to any tests yet or anything. I was laying there, all of a sudden, pain went to zero. A miracle. He opened my artery. Of course, I had to have another stent. So I've got two stents in me. But praise God for that miracle, bona fide miracle in my life. And I'm good today. I'm clean. My blood work is awesome. I'm working at it. But it's God. It's the love of God that is propelling me now, not like the lady said, fear of God. It's the love of God. Mm. He's working a big work in me. And I thank Him for that.
Praise God. Awesome. Okay. You ready?
No.
You're not ready?
No, you're kind of scared.
You're kind of scared. Well, that's how I feel all the time.
That's right.
Ready? I'm going to hold this for you, so go ahead.
Well, that's more safe. I have had a normal life, minus all the sins I've done. Well, I accepted Christ when I was a little girl. I was just sitting on my bed-ish. And you know, there was really nothing to that one. I didn't really feel anything because I was so little. I think I was like 6 or something. Nothing really. And then I came to Uncamp, and it changed my life. Not the first time, or the second time. The third time really changed my life in a way. Not just because my mother works there. Is running that place, but in a way, because I kind of ate chocolate. I'm not allowed to have chocolate. It makes me go kind of crazy. Yeah, I had to go home one day. Really sad. But then the next year, it actually got good.
Okay.
Yeah, and if y'all don't know, Uncamp always has a miracle in it. It's, I don't know how, but 2 Uncamps ago, not this last Uncamp, but the one after before that,
yeah.
At the JJ performance, the lights went all the way out.
Yeah.
And from what I've heard, there's this, on the side, the scoreboard, because they were doing it in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And the home was up, I think it was like 12, but the visitor was 0, and the visitor kept on going up. And Mr. Jen explained, we are the visitors, and the visitors got over 12. Said, we are the visitors, and we have overcome evil.
There you go. That's awesome. Good job. Keep up the good work. Keep up the good work.
You said freedom, and I had to come running up.
Yeah.
I did. I ran from
You
back.
Looked very free
I
running
didn't
down
the aisle. I didn't want to come up here, but I had to share. A couple years ago, I got married to a man, and he was an abusive alcoholic and an atheist. And I turned my back on my family, and I turned my back on God, and I had no one. I had no one. And I hurt my family, and I hurt everyone around me. And it got so bad. I felt so alone. And finally, I thought that I had nowhere to go. I couldn't leave. I couldn't anything because I had no one. And I thought for sure God wouldn't take me back because there's no way He could love me because I was married to an atheist and I had said some pretty mean things. We had some mean talks. And I finally, one day on my knees, I had a very intimate prayer with God, and I don't want to go into that. But I completely turned my life around and went full-fledged ahead with nothing, absolutely nothing, a single mom. With nothing. And 7 months later, I'm standing here to encourage you that there's freedom in God's love. I have my family. I have a home. I have a life for me and my baby. And when He said freedom, there's nothing you can ever do to stop God from loving you. There's freedom. Love, peace, and joy is in God. And I just had to share that because I'm so happy I'm free.
God has done so many things for me over all my years. I couldn't tell you how much, but recently, this last month, He has set me free from fear.
Mm.
I was just diagnosed with cancer, and I don't worry about it. I'm trusting Him. He's all over it. I'm blessed through friends, family, doctors, work, everything. And I just am not having fear. I know I've got a long walk. I've been through first chemo. And I survived it, and it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, so I'm going to be strong, but I just trust Him. No matter what the outcome is, it's all good.
Yeah.
No matter what happens.
Where's Debbie at? Okay. Huh? Yeah. You need to hook up with Debbie. I mean, we prayed for her first service, and I mean, hey.
So, I just trust him. His love's there.
Amen. 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 Come on. Hi.
I'm not very old. I'm 16.
We're shocked.
But when I was 12, I didn't very like myself very much. And I started cutting myself really bad. And that went on for about 3 years. And I've got scars all over my arms. And, well, I was in a bad place, and I got anxiety, and when I was 14, I cut myself so deep I blacked out, and that's when I found God. And then, because, I'm sorry, I don't really know.
It's okay, honey.
But yeah, I blacked out, and that was when he saved me. And I don't know who's going to see this, or I don't know. Nobody really knows what happened to me, but because I haven't really shared it, but that's what happened, and that's why I'm different. Okay.
So I want to ask you a real quick question. So if there's some young man or some young lady out there like yourself that's going through a tough time, and maybe they're cutting themselves and they don't love themselves, what would you say to them?
Just every part of you, every way, every quirk or everything that people have ever told you you weren't good enough or that you hated yourself, God, it tears him apart. He doesn't want that for you. Every time you take a drink, every time you cut yourself, every time you starve yourself, he's up there, and it breaks his heart, you know? That's it, yeah.
Well, you're a hero and a champion, and you're awesome, and we love you. How's it going?
Good.
Good to see you today. It's good to see you around here. What are you gonna say? I'll hold it for you.
My name's Caden, and I used to not like myself very much, and I went to a hospital for a mental hospital, and I got out, but while I was in there, I was praying, and Jesus helped me out.
My name is Valeria. Last Monday I turned 14, and
I'm a figure skater. I moved from Florida a week ago here to Tennessee, and I feel at home here because I feel that God has brought me to this place to do what he wants me to do, not just for me to live my life, but for me to be able to share what God has done for me. I know I'm young, but in his eyes, age doesn't matter. He just needs a willing heart and your mouth, and that's it, and he'll do the rest. And when I turned 10, I took my figure skating very seriously. I competed. I would work till 5:30 in the morning, till 3:30 afternoon. I spent a lot of time at the rink, and I experienced a lot of rejection. I felt that I had no more value, and my love for God, my light died out. And while I went to Boston to go compete. I was alone with my coach. My mom and my dad could not afford to come and watch me. And that depression, I felt that depression for 2 weeks. It was so bad. I did not eat. I lost 10 or 15 pounds. I began to wonder and doubt God, why he had brought me to figure skating, the world of figure skating, why he wanted me to go through so much pain. And my anxieties were every day. I felt in a hole, in a ditch, that I would never be free, and that was my life. I didn't want to live. I was ready to die. I did not want to live for God anymore, do anything with him, because I felt like he abandoned me. And this was a 3-year course from the age of 10 to the age of 13. Every day, I hated myself even more for even feeling this way. I didn't want to live for God or be a Christian. My light died out completely. My family saw me suffer. My pastor saw me suffer. My friends saw me suffer. And they prayed, and I prayed, even though that wasn't what my heart wanted to do. My mom fasted for me for weeks, and she saw no result. And really, she had lost hope. I had lost hope in me. But in a week, right before I turned 13, there was a competition for skating. And usually for competitions, I get even more depressed and anxiety for failing my coaches and my parents. And my mom for a whole week fasted for me without me even knowing. I was still the same. And one day I wake up with no more fear and no more anxiety. And I ran to my mom crying and saying, "You know what, Mom? I'm free from this depression, from this hole. I feel new." And what I want to tell you, what I've learned from this, is if you give God if you give your life to God first, he is going to be victorious. And yes, there will be problems in your life. God doesn't say just because, you know, you're a Christian, your life is perfect. No, you're going to go through those turmoils and problems. But what makes a difference is that in the end, you're going to be victorious. He will be victorious. And now I know why I went through this, because I'm here. I'm able to stand up and speak to people and say, there's hope. Just give your life to God first, and he will do the rest.
Good, good. Awesome. Thank you. Awesome.
Speak on a subject that I think has touched and affected everyone's life in some way, divorce. I found myself last week in a place where the people in the world were advocating for me that I would find freedom in a divorce. And freedom doesn't give that. It doesn't. My hope and my faith and my trust in my Lord is the only thing that gives me freedom. Mm. I am in a marriage where my husband doesn't follow the Lord right now. Mm. Right now.
Right.
But he will.
Yeah.
I stand and I serve a God of restoration. We all have something to be restored to. And divorce can be many things. It doesn't have to be within a marriage. But he loves us, and he's the only part that can fill every void. Mm. And he's done that. And that's why I can stay. Mm. That's why I can love my husband through the choices he makes. Mm. Because I'm loved that way. Mm. And I've chosen to receive it. But it's for his glory. Mm. Thank you.
My wife and I actually are new here. We just moved from Phoenix, but my story is a little too familiar with the world this week with the loss of Robin Williams. I was in a familiar place about 9 years ago, and grew up in a Christian home. Had what I thought was a decent family, but I was beat up every day of my life in school. Mm-hmm. I was the outcast. At home, same way, by my brother. And church, pastor's kids, same thing. Camp, I was the one that they always teased and everything. So my life was filled with isolation. And I always saw, like in Phoenix, we don't have clouds. It just doesn't happen that much. But I would find the one dark cloud that was covering the sky, even if it was 1,000 miles away, I would focus in on it. Mm. And I'd be like, the no hope. I was just filled with just incredible depression, and every time I turn around, something would happen, and just, I was trying to live for God, and I thought God loved me, but I didn't really understand that, you know? Mm-hmm. And something happened in 05 where just a lot of things happened. I lost my wife of not even 5 years prior to that. She left, and Dear John on the wall, you know, and stuff. And I was just like, every time I turn around, I felt like God was just, like, punishing me. Mm. And finally got to the point where I was like, okay, God, I can't handle one more thing. And I started planning my exit strategy. But not the way that people would think, in a way that wouldn't leave a burden to anybody. So that was the last thing. I knew I was a burden my whole life, you know? And so I figured, well, I just plan on driving my car off of a cliff that everybody knew was there, but nobody would think that anything about it, just an accident. I didn't want to be a burden. And I just prayed that God, I could not one more thing. If I get one more thing, that's where I'm headed. I already had a date in mind, packing up my place. And my neighbor came home, real quick story. Basically, our mailboxes got broken into at our apartment complex. And I'm like, oh, great. That's it. That's the one last thing. Mm. I walk over, went in the mail room. 30 or 40 mailboxes were broken into. 3 were not. Mine was the dead center. That was not. And I didn't see a broken mailbox. I saw God. Mm-hmm. Because when we pray, God, I can't handle one more thing. Scripture clearly says that God will not give you anything more than you can handle. And he knew I was at my bottom. And he showed me himself that said, you know what? Regardless of how the world treats you, regardless of success or failures or this and that, the only thing in life that matters is my God who made me truly cares about me. And you can have the fame and fortune. I mean, I read so many things on Robin this week that really kind of I could relate to. And one thing was that he made everybody else laugh, but he had a hard time feeling that joy inside and making himself. He'd try to make himself laugh, but feeling that joy. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I can stand up here and say is, without a doubt, God is the only one who can fill a void, that can give you a joy that nobody or anything can ever fill. And 5 years later, he sent me my wife, a new wife. And I know no matter what that God cares.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome, buddy. Thanks for sharing that.
A
I'll try and get through this without crying. I'm a crier. I came to Christ when I was 28. I was at the bottom, pretty much drinking myself to death. And Christ saved me, and he broke my chains. About 4 or 5 years ago, he broke the chains, but I still didn't trust him up until this week. Mm. He's given me everything. I have amazing friends. He's reconnecting me with my family. And I still didn't trust him because I was the unloved. I was the forgotten that nobody saw. And he sat with me in my car this week while I journaled, and he showed me every instance that he was there, that he never left. Amen. And it just proves that he is trustworthy, and he has a good plan for my life.
Amen. Awesome. So what do you hear and what do you see in all that? Like, I'm thinking about all these precious, wonderful people. Every one of them, beautiful. Every one of them, good looking. Every one of them dressed, you know, sharp. And it wasn't one of those people that I looked at and went, boy, I bet you that you are really messed up. Everybody looked very normal, didn't they? Very normal, very appropriate. See, that's what we do all the time here. We, our staff, when we're talking and praying all the time, going, you know what? Every time we get together, this room is filled with people that you would never imagine have profound pain and hurt. Dressed right, look the part, all that stuff, do their best to put a smile and a good face on it, and some of them are dying inside. That's why we have prayer time. That's why we are here constantly just trying to minister to people and just say, hey, I know it's rough, but God's able. Amen. And he's good, and like, let's not quit. Like, every one of those stories, could you imagine if any one of those people had decided just to quit, they wouldn't have seen what God did. Stories of trust and trusting God no matter what and watching God come through and just by just holding on even with your last iota. I don't get why he waits until the very end sometimes. I don't know how that works. But I think there's something for us to realize, just like as a church family. Like when we come in here every week and I tell you, like, hug somebody, bless somebody, give somebody a good word. We just don't do that because that's filler time. There's a really good chance you're sitting next to someone that hasn't heard God bless you. That needs a word, that needs somebody to look in their eye and say, hey man, you all right? Doing all right? God bless you. Let's believe together. Like that's what church is. That's what church is supposed to be about. Amen. What about the precious little ones that were up here? What about the little ones that were up here? Come on up here, but I just need you to sit down for a second. Come. I'm sorry, that wasn't very clear. If you just sit right there on the step, that'd be great. What about the precious little ones? Peggy, what about when you were a little precious one? Right, I'm gonna get there. Yeah. Amen. These precious little ones, that young lady who lifted her shirt up, I don't know that anybody but me saw it. I'm telling you from from top to bottom right there. Deep scars. I don't even know the number. I mean, a lot. Beautiful, beautiful young lady. Gorgeous young girl. Little Caden a minute ago. I went and saw him when he was in the hospital. We had a lovely time together. It's not just old people, it's young people. It's especially the young people, it's everybody. It's people needing help and hope and love and acceptance and power and grace and encouragement. You know, you couldn't have asked for this transition that I'm going to give right now. You couldn't have asked for this to happen. So I want to talk to you about our youth. And I want you to pull out your bulletin, and I want you to see this card that's in it. And I want you to look at every one of these kids and remember every one of these kids up here. And I want you to remember Peggy, my friend who was little at one time, and what she needed. Last Sunday, between birth and fifth grade, there was 550 kids here on the campus. Between birth and fifth grade, 550 kids. And so I told everybody last week, hey, we're getting ready for the September through May commitment, and it's time to reach our kids. It's time to invest in the next generation. It's time to win them. It's time to see the value of them. It's time to pour into them. There's need there. There's need there. There's need there. To look into their faces, to love them, to be kind to them, to encourage them, to teach them the truth. When they're being told everywhere that they're ugly and facing rejection, there is a loving heart staring them in the face, telling them, you are beautiful to behold. You are worthy of being loved. God's got a good plan for you. Let me introduce you to Jesus over and over and over again. And so we had people fill the cards out last week, and the need is still unmet. We still need 250 volunteers, and I don't know why we'd have a need. I don't know why. I don't know why. But as of this morning, we still needed 250 volunteers, and so I'm going to ask you to fill the cards out, and I'm going to ask you to be a conduit of the love of Jesus to the next generation. I'm going to ask you with purpose and passion to go into those youth rooms and to love those children, and with a smile on your face and with warm eyes, listen to them and bless them and pray for them. The reason that we have so many volunteers here at Grace Chapel for our youth department is because we don't just babysit them, we minister to them, and that takes a whole team of people. If Grace Chapel decides that we don't want to minister to our kids anymore and we just want to do babysitting, then I don't know. Then we close the doors. Then we quit. Then we quit.
Steve.
Yeah.
You know, I recently started volunteering. Was it third grade? Second, third grade? I don't.
Hey, come on up here. I just have a sense that you have something to say to everybody that will be important, and so. See, now here's the thing. I'm not preaching today. This is the message. This is the message. Now, you can go online and you can watch the message that I preached earlier. But the people who were here earlier didn't get any of this. So they're going to have to come online and watch this as well. So you got a blessing that they didn't get, big time. All right. What were you going to share?
It says 250. You know, I didn't want to go and sit at my wife and I joke, we call it the ADD table. But, you know, I know that there's a need. You know, I don't want to get up an hour earlier and you know, just so that I can, you know, come and sit at the ADD table. But, you know, there's a reward
when you look in those kids' eyes and you see that they need somebody to sit there. They need somebody to ask them the questions that are going to minister to their heart, and that they're gonna remember and think about it in weeks and months and even years to come. So you got to invest in our children. I've told this story many times over the years. You know, I had my children in Christian school all through their lives, and I remember Pastor Knudsen in Anaheim, California, and was a Baptist school, and every time we would have a play, and he would talk about that the only way we can raise our children is in a trident, a three-prong approach. You got to have your home, you got to have your church, and you got to have your school all going in the same direction in order to raise our healthy children. So, you know, invest. 250. All right? If you invest, it's 249. Okay? You invest, it's 248. You know?
Thanks. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Come on over here.
Hi. I usually sit up at the balcony up there, and my heart was beating out of my chest, and I guess that was the Holy Spirit telling me to come down here.
Mm-hmm.
No one really knows the story about me. I'm sorry, I'm crying. But I think the Holy Spirit was telling me to come down here because there's probably some young girl or some young boy going through what I went through. I was 18, and I was in a very toxic, sexually abusive, and physically abusive relationship, and I didn't think I could get out, and it was for a year, and I tried to get out, and every time he just kept telling me, no, you can't get out of this, you're stuck in this relationship, and this is what you're gonna do, and I really thought I couldn't get out, and people say that it's really easy, you just say no and walk away, but you really don't know until you're in that. So I just want to tell all these beautiful young girls and boys, get out now before it goes
say it
too
again.
Far.
Yeah.
Get out now. It's so much harder to go through that, and I hated God so much for putting me through that, but it has made me stronger, and I'm glad I'm the one that had to go through that and not my beautiful two sisters, because I get to tell them that you deserve someone who's going to love you
yes.
as much as he does. And right when I got out of that, like a month later, I found someone who does love me like that. And I am so grateful to have someone who adores me like he does. And I'm grateful to have just a wonderful father who loves me. And this is the first time he's going to hear this. And it's been a long time. It's been 3 years, and I've never told him. And I know he's watching this right now. So know that I love you, and I just didn't want to hurt you. And I'm really sorry. And I just love you so much, and just know that I am free now, and that God loves me so much, and I'm perfectly happy with the woman I have become through what I have been through, and I'm free now.
Y'all have something to say? We got the whole family.
Let's see, where do I begin?
what you've had. Go ahead.
I grew up in a Christian home. Parents who love me, brothers who love me. Like everything was pretty normal. Besides the fact that we lived in New Zealand when I was little. We moved to New Zealand because my parents were missionaries. My dad was the pastor of a church there. And due to various reasons that I don't really have the responsibility to share, I guess, we had to move back here. And I was, along with both my brothers at different times, hated my dad. I just didn't want anything to do with him. He moved out when I was in sixth grade, starting middle school, new transition, and those were probably the hardest 3 years of my entire life, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. I was bullied pretty harshly in middle school. It was never physical, it was always verbal, but it was always very harsh. I would come home crying almost every day, only to also be verbally abused by my brothers as well. And I, during sixth and seventh grade, had no friends. I felt very alone. And we started coming here when I was in sixth grade. And I didn't want to come at all because some of the kids that bullied me at school came to this church. And
you tell me who.
I didn't want to come at all. And it took me really until like the end of eighth grade to really want to come. But I went to summer camp the summer after seventh grade. And that was the year that I really was changed. There was just something about that year that really spoke to me, and that was the year that I really gave my heart to the Lord. And I was baptized that August, going into a new school for eighth grade, moved houses. Everything was about to change. And now I'm rekindling my relationship with my dad. My parents got remarried after they got divorced. I haven't told them in probably 5 or 6 years. And they're in New Zealand right now, so Dad, I don't know if you're watching this, but I do love you. And I'm going to tell you as soon as you get back.
I'm guessing they're going to see this.
And I just also want my brothers to know that I love you guys. And you've gotten me through everything as well. Even if I didn't have the awesome parents that I have and the awesome brothers that I do have, I have an awesome God as well.
and I wouldn't be where I am today without God and without my close friends that have gotten me through everything. I just want you guys to know that no matter what you're going through, even if it's something as simple as, you know, somebody just like mean to you in the hallway, like, it's gonna be okay.
This is really nerve-wracking. I was like, oh good, God didn't call me up here. And then you started talking about the youth, and I was like, yeah, I just want to start off with saying that God is a provider. I didn't really think that, but until a few years ago, and I decided to go to YWAM. I don't know if y'all have heard that, it's Youth with a Mission. And I went, and God provided in numerous different ways, but the main way was showing me his father heart. And yeah, so he just showed me that through this man, his name's Akshus. He's this Korean dude, I love him. And he showed me God's father heart. Like, God provided that for me. And I was like, oh my gosh, and Akshus had no idea, and he was just like, oh. And so, you know, I was so overwhelmed by the fact that God revealed himself to me through this man that he never knew that God was going to use him to be a father heart. He was like 27 or something like that, you know, a father or whatever. And so I thought, you know, I'm never going to be that for somebody. I don't think I'm as strong as that. And so I was back in YWAM last year doing an art evangelism school. And we were doing a youth program, and I was like, great. And I got stuck with like the teenage boys, and I have a younger brother, so I'm like, oh gosh, I'm gonna get really like annoyed. But I fell in love with those boys, and I was like, oh, my heart cries out for them. And there was this one boy in particular, and I might start crying because I pray for him every day. And he was really cold, and he had all these smart remarks he wanted to say whenever I talked to him. But I was with him for 2 weeks, and I was like, I'm going to crack this kid. Like, come on. So I just slowly went up to him and was like, hey, man, what's up, you know? And then it was a week at camp, and we were there, and he was getting into worship, and I was like, yes, like, go for it. And so he slowly started to open up a little bit more and more, and I had a few chats with him. And at the end of the week, he came up to me, and he hugged me, and he said, thank you. He said, thank you for being there for me. He goes, I really want to do this God thing. And I was like, oh my, I like broke down. And I later found out that his mother was mentally ill and hadn't hugged him in like 3 years. And he just hugged me, and like I will always cherish that memory of that boy hugging me. And the fact that God used me, like me, like to hug this kid and to show him like God's heart. I don't know, it was so amazing. And so I just want to encourage you guys that God can use you in the youth, like there's so many people that have said they have, you know, dad problems, like the father heart of God. That's so lost in our church. I feel like we see this God as like scary, but he's your father. Like, he wants to love you, he wants to hold you, and he can use you guys in the youth to hug this child whose mother hasn't hugged him in 3 years. And I'm blown away that God used me. So that's my story.
Awesome. Awesome.
Come on. Your dad started it all.
I moved here when I was 8 years old, and by happenstance, we moved next door to Pastor Steve, and I grew up with his kids. Josiah was one of my best friends. But the big thing that happened was that when I was 8 years old, my dad gave his life over to Christ. Now I was young, and so a lot of stuff that my dad went through and was learning to overcome, I grew up with. I grew up in church. I knew about Christ. I knew about the commandments, I knew about the law, but I didn't know about the love. I was lucky to have Jonathan there as one of my youth leaders, Jake as one of my youth leaders, and a lot of other great men. I was lucky to have a father who stood by me even when I made my choices. Even when I made my choices and he said, son, you're gonna walk down a path that I chose too. But someday you'll be right back here making a different choice. And he'll be different for you. When I was 21 years old, I had been through the Marine Corps. I have tried to kill myself. I have done a lot of things. When I was 21 years old, I was in the hole. Dark, empty, without life. And I called the one person I knew who would always be there for me, and that was my dad. And I asked him, would you pray for me? And he said, no, not this time, son. Nope. You want something from God, you ask him yourself. And that was the first time I ever asked God for life, for truth, for purpose. The next day, I was in Narragate. The next day, didn't even know I was even going to go through Narragate. The next day, I was in it. And they taught me about the love of God. They taught me about the purpose, about the reason why Christ came here and died. For no other reason but to have a relationship with us, so that we can be reunited with him. I am about to become a husband to an amazing woman who has faced similar issues that a lot of the other women have come up here and talked about. I get to become a father to a 3-year-old boy, and I hope I can be as good an example as my dad was for me. Men in Narragate, an encouraging word. There are young men out there who need you. I get the opportunity to be that for a 3-year-old boy, and I get to work alongside of other great godly men. Look for those individuals out there, those persons. Be an example for them. And the other fathers and men out there, there are young boys out there who need you to be fathers to them. Be like my mentors. I hope to be like them one day. Thank you.
Come on, team. Right here.
Hi. When the young lady said that her heart was beating, mine has been beating for a while now. I don't normally come before large crowds like this, but I wanted to send you out with something, and this is his job to do that, but maybe I can send you further with a...
We're communicating.
With a new song in your heart. For some reason, God has always had a melody in my heart. I have melodies in my heart all the time. And the lyrics can come from different sources. And, unlike many of the people here, I've not lived through the great trials and things that you've come through. I've been blessed to have a precious mother who has been my father as well, my sister who's been my mother as well. We have a wonderful member to our family, David, who is in Texas with his family and some things that are going on there. But today, my ritual is to come in, put my Bible in, and walk straight to the back and go to the ladies' room and come back. And I was on my ritual, and I was walking down this aisle, and a gentleman, I didn't even see his face, but I overheard a gentleman, he had a booming voice, And someone walked up and spoke to him and said, "Brother, how you been?" And he said, "Man, let me tell you how amazing God has been." And when I heard those words, they resonated with me the whole time I was in the ladies' room and since I've been sitting here. And I just want to tell you that there was an immediate melody that came to my head, and I thought, let me tell you how amazing God has been. Let me tell you how wonderful he's been. And the songs just keep running through my head. And I can tell you today, when you leave here today, let God put a new song in your heart. Let him remind you of everything you've heard today. Let him remind you of how amazing he has been to set our youth free from the destruction of the enemy in every form. Let him remind you that God is restoring marriages. He is healing of cancer. He is meeting every need that his children have. Remind people today, remind yourself of how amazing God has been and will continue to be. And let him put that new song in your heart. And if you have been walking with Christ for a year, a day, or 42 years like me, I can tell you as an old Baptist hymn, every day with Jesus gets sweeter than the day before. I promise you, for 42 years, every day has gotten sweeter that I've walked with him. I've not been perfect, but he has made me perfect through his righteousness. Right. Just let him put a new song in your heart today and remind you of how amazing he has been to touch so many lives in this room today. And thank you for letting me share.
We need to love people. We need to serve people. We need to make ourselves available. We need to not be selfish. And then we can see the kingdom of God expanded in ways that we never imagined and in people's hearts we never expected. I want to make a difference. It's what I signed up for. I want to make a difference. There's just such a great group of people that have signed up to make a difference. We're just looking for more all the time. That's it. So, Jeannie, if you're going to close the service the right way, you have to learn how to say, "And God's people said." So if you could just stand up and close the service in a way that would make Mama proud, that'd be great. So feel free.